Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's January 2nd, 2018. Glad to have you along here for The Opening Bell, and glad to be back from vacation. Happy New Year to all of you. Hopefully your holiday season was very good, and we are looking forward to a happy, healthy, prosperous New Year. So glad you're along here with us for the start of another business day and another business year. This morning, first on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures are off about 51 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are mixed this morning. Asian shares this morning are mixed as well, with the Hang Seng up almost 2%, but the Nikkei is off. And in Europe this morning, markets are generally lower, with the DAX in France off almost 104 points, and the FTSE off about 33 points. The CAC is off about 44 points. Watching a couple of big stories this morning for you. First of all, the Republican tax plan has been just a bill for about a week or more, but it's now facing a threat of legal challenges from Democratic governors who claim the bill's impact will have more impact, negative impact on red, blue states rather than red states, and could actually be unconstitutional under the 14th Amendment in terms of how it takes away things from one state, gives it to another. The Republican tax plan eliminates deductions for state and local income and property taxes at $10,000, caps them there, hitting areas with high property values like Illinois. Streaming services surge in popularity. We're learning movie theaters are experiencing a decrease in attendance. The number of movie theaters tickets sold in America last year hit a 22-year low, with a 4% decline since 1995. And in a year when more people flew to more places than ever in 2017, it was the safest on record for airline passengers. The Dutch-based aviation consultancy group 270 has released its civil aviation safety review for 2017. It reports only two fatal accidents, both of them involving turboprop aircraft, a total of 13 lives lost. That means no jets crashed in passenger services anywhere around the world in 2017. Back to the tax cut, to the tax bill, lots of things happening with that. One of them is some of the potential impacts for you as workers, as companies try to reinvest some of the tax money. We're happy to have David Aronson with us this morning. He's the CEO of Peanut Butter. Good morning, David. Welcome back to The Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. Great to be with you.
Good to see you, because we haven't seen you. You were here for, I think, the CEO profile mid-last year, I think.
Time flies.
It does, doesn't it? So how are things going?
Things have been incredible. We've seen a real growth spurt over the last roughly 18 months. We're now serving employers across the country, helping them design and administer their student loan assistance programs in order to attract, retain, and engage college-educated talent. Our clients include publicly traded companies, private equity-backed firms, and even leaders in human capital management. We have grown as a team here in Chicago, but what makes me feel best is the positive results that we're seeing for our clients. So it's been a really, really, really great time.
In a nutshell, your company helps employers realize that student loan assistance is a good benefit to have as part of like a vacation package, and one of those benefits you get as an employee.
That's right, Steve.
The reason we wanted to bring you in today was to talk about this tax bill. Lots of companies are going to have more to invest. Is this going to be one of the things that they invest in, do you think?
I think it will be. We're already seeing employers announce bonus programs, raises to minimum wage. As you said, they're reinvesting the tax savings from tax reform into talent. And the environment, other than the competitive environment, hasn't changed in the last week. We're still at a record, almost record low in unemployment. College hiring continues to rise more than it has in any time over the last 50 years. So it's very hard to recruit and retain college-educated talent, and now more employers than ever are doing more for their people. So we think this is going to be an incredible boom time for companies offering student loan assistance and helping a portion of those 44 million Americans who are encumbered by student debt to tackle what has become their number one financial objective.
The idea being that you have to have some sort of edge in the hiring process, And what a better edge than to offer this benefit.
That's right.
You mentioned there about how many people are in debt with student loans. How did that, do you have any sense of how that number grew or stayed the same in 2017?
Yeah, of course. It continued to grow about... The best number that I could point to is that about three-quarters of the class of 2017 entered the workforce with student debt. So there are more people taking on student loans than paying it off. Today, it amounts to north of 44 million of us in this country who hold student loans and a total student debt of more than $1.5 trillion.
We, during the process of the tax bill, we're hearing that there may be elimination of interest for student loans. Was that, I can't remember, was that part of the bill?
That was in the House bill. Right. It was maintained in the Senate bill. It was ultimately maintained in the bill that passed in December. So those 13 million Americans who are able to claim the student loan interest deduction will continue to be able to claim the student loan interest deduction in 2018.
That's a big deal because any kind of help is important in this matter.
Absolutely.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, a couple of stocks of local interest this morning. Caterpillar stock off about 5%, a half a percent, I should say, 157.58. And Discover Financial Services is off about a full percent at 76.92.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us. Our guest this morning, David Aronson, the CEO of Peanut Butter in Chicago. David, remind us why you chose Peanut Butter as the name for your company.
Peanut butter was the only thing that I could afford to eat when I was in college.
I love that. Me too, as a matter of fact, and ramen noodles, I think. But you mentioned earlier that things are going well and your client list is growing. Give us a sense of who some of your clients are and what they're saying.
Yeah, locally here in Chicago, we've seen incredible traction in technology, advertising, professional services, financial services. One of our clients is Rise Interactive. They are an ad age best place to work with a few hundred employees, and their COO recently said that student loan assistance has been a boon to their recruiting efforts. So for companies that have entered now 2018 and are thinking about all the people that they need to hire, this is a great way to differentiate. Other companies, local companies like Medix, which is a staffing firm, they work nationally. They've got about 400 employees. Their vice president of people recently said that among the participants in their student loan assistance program, they've seen virtually no employee turnover. So data shows that the cost of replacing a productive employee can be as much as 100% of that employee's salary when you look at lost productivity, rehiring, and retraining. So it's been a great way for companies like Medix and others to convince people to stay.
So not only an attractive recruitment tool, but a retention tool as well.
That's right. And in addition to being a motivator for people to stick with their job, it also affects a part of the workforce that many companies are seeking to engage as a special effort. Student loans are affected. Two-thirds of student loan debt is held by women, and African Americans and Hispanics hold twice as much in student loans as their white peers. So for many companies, this benefit represents an opportunity to engage what are often underrepresented groups in the workforce and accelerate the positive impacts of gender and cultural diversity.
Give us a sense of what it probably varies, but from a money standpoint, what kind of benefit are we talking about? Is it a percentage? Is it hundreds of dollars? I mean, give us a sense.
For companies, it's actually quite modest, but for employees, it becomes quite significant. The average employer that works with us is contributing just $50 per participant per month. So for the 30 to 40% of employees who typically hold student debt at a company, they will receive that $50 per month into their student loan account through Peanut Butter. But the compounding nature of interest means that the impact is actually much, much more. So a $50 contribution this month will actually save the employee close to $60 or $65 over the life of their loan and help accelerate their payoff date by 8 to 10 days. And when you get that $50 every month and month and month and month, it really adds up and helps the employee get out of debt much, much faster than they otherwise would.
I'm sure you're focused on getting as many to sign up for this as possible and in working that from the corporate angle, but have you thought what the next step is going to be in this process?
Well, we're thrilled to partner with leading human capital management companies. Last year, we started serving Ceridian, which is one of the largest payroll providers in the country, with student loan assistance, offering student loan assistance for their own employees. Actually, just a couple of months ago, we announced a partnership with LifeWorks, which is one of the largest employee assistance providers in the world. They help 30,000 companies engage over 15 million employees. So we're thrilled to be partnering with organizations, these organizations and others, to help their clients now engage talent.
Is this when you have employers? Is this one of the things they put high up in their want ads for folks?
You know, when companies come on board with us, we help them communicate the benefits so that they can optimize the return on their investment. That includes adding it to their recruiting materials, adding it to the job posting, the careers page of their website. All of those are an opportunity to impact the decision that prospective new hires will make. So, yeah, absolutely. We see companies at it throughout the recruiting process, including in-person dialogues between the hiring manager, the recruiting manager, and the candidate.
In addition to being successful in signing up clients for your company, you're getting funding as well, a new round recently.
Yeah, we're thrilled to be one of the first investments in the Rise of the Rest seed fund. That is a fund that was recently announced by Steve Case, the founder of AOL, and is backed by a host of experienced entrepreneurs from around the country, folks like Jeff Bezos, Joe Mansueto, Eric Schmidt, and others. So to date, we've raised capital from Rise of the Rest, from other great local investors like Howard Tolman's G2T3V, and we feel like we're in a great spot to continue building our platform and serve our customers here in 18.
This is the first business day of the year, and we're happy to have you here with us. I want to kind of draw on your CEO experience here to give us a sense of what your level of optimism is as a CEO, what the business landscape might look like in your eyes for the coming year, maybe even some advice for people as they try to motivate on some of their New Year's resolutions. Where would you like to start?
Well, thanks for asking, Steve. For us, I'll start with advice, and I always think about trying to leave today 1% stronger. So it's always what we're going to accomplish at the end of the year is always made up of those little steps that we took during the year. So if you as a leader and you as a business can get a little bit stronger every day, then you're going to be a lot stronger at the end of the year. In today's business climate, I'm quite optimistic, particularly given low unemployment rates. There are a lot of great people out there pushing our economy forward and driving companies forward. And I think that for our business specifically, we couldn't be more thrilled with where we're at today.
The other side of this is people, you know, thinking about going to college, taking on potentially more debt. Is that an area that you'd like to see more attention paid on the affordability of college in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a question that families often go through, the cost to value equation for what is a degree worth and how much should we, if at all, encumber ourselves and our in some cases it's the family, in some cases it's dependents, in some cases it's the individual. But I think there are becoming better resources both through universities and through private enterprise to help people make better decisions. And I think that's a key opportunity for people who are either considering college or going through college is thinking about what is this degree going to mean to me financially once it's complete, and what's it going to cost me in order to complete it, whether I have begun or I'm going to to start my degree.
Well, David, it's always good chatting with you. Let's not wait a whole nother year for you to come back in. We would like to talk to you sooner than that.
And, I'd like that as well.
All the best with peanut butter.
Thanks so much, Steve.
You can find more about David Aronson's company, Peanut Butter, getpeanutbutter.com, and you can also follow on Twitter at getpeanutbutter. This is the opening bell on 720 WGN.
From ABC News, Tech Trends, Apple says it's all a misunderstanding. Details after this. It turns out users weren't imagining things. Some of their iPhones really were slowing down. Apple has since published a letter to its customers apologizing for that sluggish iPhone performance, which mainly affected older devices.
The company says about a year ago, it quietly installed software through updates that would intentionally slow functionality of some phones during peak workloads, meaning when you use your phone most. Problem is, they didn't clearly tell that to consumers.
ABC's Matt Gutman, the tech giant now promising to reduce the price of replacement batteries of the affected phones from $79 to $29, and will go one step farther.
Company also says it's planning to roll out a software update which will show consumers on their phones when their batteries are on their last legs. Often, that's all that needs to be replaced.
Some iPhone owners have already filed lawsuits against the company. With Tech Trends, I'm Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Tuesday edition, the first edition of the new year. We thought we'd focus a little on the business of medicine this morning, specifically something called elephant trunk graft that's being used in surgery. And Dr. Chris Maleshri is joining us now. He's a cardiologist at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine. He's an associate professor there. Mr. Maleshri, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about this. So what is the elephant trunk graft surgery that we're talking about here?
Right. This procedure is designed to treat patients with diseases of the aorta. And the disease of the aorta come in two forms. The first is aortic aneurysm, where there is a localized enlargement or ballooning, or an aortic dissection, where there's an actual tear in the lining of the aorta.
And talk to me a little bit about both of these conditions. I think most of our listeners are familiar with aneurysms. What kind of mortality do those pose, and why is this new procedure important?
This is a life-threatening procedure in some patients, in particular patients with aortic dissection. And typically patients will require at least two operations, sometimes multiple operations, to treat their aortic aneurysm or dissection. This device is designed to reduce the amount of operations that these patients have to receive, and also in order to make the procedure itself quicker and faster to perform.
That's obviously very important, because every time, I'm not the doctor here, you are, but every time this you go in, it's a significant danger, isn't it?
Right. People have to remember that this is still open heart surgery, meaning that we make an incision in the chest. We look at the heart. We have to stop the heart briefly in order to make the repair. So patients are kept in a suspended state while the heart is not beating, and we can't keep people in this state forever. And any opportunity we have in order to simplify the procedure, make it quicker, will make it safer for the procedure as well.
And sometimes this has been called the frozen elephant trunk procedure. I'm guessing that's because of the way it looks. What's the frozen part?
All right, the elephant trunk procedure has been around for a couple decades, and it's typically a two-stage procedure. And the first stage leaves a dangling graft in the aorta. It's connected on one side, but the other side is just left dangling in the aorta, so it looks like an elephant trunk. This new graft puts a stented section in the elephant trunk section, making it conformable, so the graft can expand and conform to the aorta, with possibly without need for a second operation. So because there's metal rings in the stented section, that portion is more rigid and it looks frozen instead of being just a typical elephant trunk.
You mentioned that the procedure, elephant trunk procedure, has been around for decades. This part of it, though, is still in the testing phase, isn't it?
It's also important to remember that this graft, specialized design graft, is only available in Europe. It has a license in Europe, but it's only available through investigational trials in the United States. currently there's about 10 centers across the country. Northwestern is one of them, where we're enrolling patients in this trial. I want our listeners to know that investigational trials does not compromise medical care for patients. Oftentimes, it makes it more safe for patients, and it also gives us the opportunity to help future patients who have this disease if device becomes available through the U.S. FDA.
Why is that the case, the first part of what you said there, how these are not necessarily risky trials? I don't want to put words in your mouth there, but I'm guessing this is because it's a very controlled setting.
Correct. These devices have been tested in vitro, meaning in the laboratory, and then followed by testing in animals. So these have gone through rigorous controlled trials before even coming to the United States and being treated in patients.
So as the testing goes on, what kinds of things will you like to see and things that you will not like to see as this proceeds on?
Well, I'd like to see that the device performs as intended, meaning there's no malfunction in the device. I've treated 9 patients now, and devices perform wonderfully. The second thing I'd like to see is durability. I want to make sure that this device is durable for 10 years or more, and hopefully for the lifetime of the patient. So our patients will be continued to follow through with CT scans and clinical examinations at least 3 to 5 years.
And during that time, regular checkups and the like, I'm guessing. When will you know if there's a problem going forward here? Will it be something that would develop after 6 months or a year?
I really don't anticipate any problems to happen with this device. Again, the Europeans have a long experience with this so far, but we'll make sure as well. Our patients will get followed with interval CT scans, that is specialized X-ray scan, where patients go through a machine where images, cross sections of the body can be seen with high resolution. So we'll know definitely if the device is performing as intended.
How will you find more participants of this study? Is it something that when somebody presents at the hospital with the possible aneurysm, that this is somebody that you would look at, or are you asking people to somehow enroll in this?
Well, we're a referral center in the Chicagoland area, so we see many patients with this disease process. We'll carefully select our patients to see who is most suitable for this device. Also, through U.S. websites, there's a list of sites that are currently offer this device. We're very glad to enroll these patients at Northwestern, and we've had great success so far.
You have mentioned several times this has been going on in Europe for a while. Is there a difference with the two systems, the American and European system, that perhaps we could learn from them and get some of these things quicker to markets? You said this has been being used since 2012. It's, 2018 now. That seems like quite a long time to be waiting for new technology that could save lives.
Right. I think the U.S. FDA now has made a stronger push in order to be the leader in the world for these sort of medical devices. And I think we'll start to see more clinical devices and medical devices come to the United States first before other parts of the world.
You mentioned there's a couple of patients or patients you've already done this on. How are they doing?
They're all alive and thriving. We're following them very closely. And I'm hoping to avoid second operations with these patients. So far, I have been able to treat the entire disease with just this single device in most of our patients.
We often talk about the cost of things like this. Obviously, if you save a life, that's invaluable. But from a business standpoint, how does this change the setting for these kinds of diseases and for the hospital?
Well, very interestingly, this device actually makes it a little bit cheaper. In the past, when I needed a certain device with this sort of design, we'd have to construct it ourselves. So we'd have to get multiple devices and do a custom-made frozen elephant trunk in the operating room. And oftentimes, using multiple devices is more expensive than having this one single pre-manufactured device.
And this might be a silly question, but what's the device made out of? When you say you have to make it, is it made out of synthetic material?
Right. It's all synthetic material. The body does not reject it. There is a graft portion, which is made out of Dacron. And Dacron is a textile, so it's very much like a cloth, but it's very durable. The second part is a stented section, and that stented section consists of metal rings, which are self-expandable metal rings, so it's a memory metal, and that allows that part of the section to expand by itself and stay open.
Doctor, good of you to be with us this morning. Thank you for your work on this, and we look forward to kind of watching the progress of this and seeing how things go with your study.
Thank you very much, and Happy New Year's. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow Futures pointing toward possible losses on the open off about 33 points right now. NASDAQ and S&P futures are flat. Gold and silver are mixed, with gold trading higher this morning, silver trading a little bit lower, and generally oil is at $60.39 a barrel, which is off just a fraction. Let's get the latest now on commodities and agriculture. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve, and welcome back as we begin a new week and a new month and a new year of trading. Let's refresh your memory and mine by going back to the closing prices last Friday for the week, the month, and the year. The wheat market down half a cent for the day on Friday, ending at $4.27 a bushel. March corn ended a penny lower at 3.50 and three quarters. But January soybeans gained 7 cents for the day on Friday, ended the year at $9.51 and three quarter cents. And when we look at the yearly change in price, wheat ended up nearly 5%, putting an end to a four-year skid. Soybeans ended the year down 4%, and the corn market nearly unchanged from a year ago. Turning to livestock futures, Chicago Mercantile Exchange last Friday on the last trading day, February lean hogs up a nickel, a hundredweight, $71.77. The rest of the lean hog months ended lower. December live cattle down $1.55 at $123 a hundredweight. And the January feeder cattle contract up 75 cents, ending at $146 per hundredweight. Well, we get underway quickly with agricultural conventions. This weekend, starting on Friday, the American Farm Bureau Federation begins its annual convention in Nashville, Tennessee. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. A couple of other stories for you this morning. Bitcoin's growth is fueling speculation and debate about the environmental impact of the energy needed to power the virtual currency. Bitcoin is the most popular digital money in the world right now, and it isn't tied to a bank or government. The environmental concerns about Bitcoin stem from the process of mining that is central to its existence. Bitcoin miners use computers to make complex calculations that verify transactions in Bitcoins. The process uses a tremendous amount of energy at computers and server farms all over the world, which has given rise to concerns about the amount of fossil fuel-dependent electricity used to power those computers. Some estimates say Bitcoin's power use is more than that of a small country, and certainly if it begins to grow even further, that energy use will expand exponentially. The value of one Bitcoin, by the way, was $16,500 in late December. It was about $1,000 back in March. While much of corporate America will enjoy a tax cut in 2018, one industry is getting a tax increase, a 2.3% excise tax on medical device manufacturers is set for reinstatement after a two-year hiatus. It went into effect on New Year's Day. It was originally imposed in 2013 as one of several taxes and fees in Affordable Care in the Affordable Care Act that pay for expanded health care coverage. The tax was unpopular with Republicans, but also many Democrats from states like Massachusetts and Minnesota with large clusters of medical device firms. Congress voted to suspend the tax for 2016 and 2017, and the industry fought to have it permanently eliminated by 2018. But that hasn't happened yet, and companies are warning the tax will cost about $20 billion over the next 10 years, hurting jobs and product development. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Tuesday, January 2nd. No major economic reports out today. GOP Congressman Steve Scalise will discuss tax reform and the 28 agenda today with a media tour happening on several networks. President Trump will have lunch with Vice President Mike Pence and the Secretary of Labor today. We expect no news out of that, but it's possible. Looking ahead to the rest of the week, Rite Aid announces earnings tomorrow. Automakers report December sales numbers. Thursday, Chicago-based Walgreens, Deerfield-based Walgreens, Monsanto earnings coming. And then on Friday, the U.S. December jobs report. So the week ramping up as we begin a new year of business news and events all over the globe.